James chapter 4, if we could please. James chapter 4, we'll read a few verses, a couple verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer here. I'm asking continue to speak to our hearts. James 4, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." What I'd like to ask you tonight, what I'd like you to ask yourself, is what will you do with the rest of your life? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne tonight and praise You for Your blood that You shed for us in Calvary that washes us whiter than snow. We ask that You speak to us through Your Word. Send the Holy Spirit through the pews here, through my tongue. Use me, God, as a vessel for You to minister to the saved. Lord, if there's someone lost here today, that they would call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins. If there's someone wandering from You today, Lord, that You call them back, that they might be used for You. We'll praise You for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It says in Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." It's a blessing to see before my eyes a bunch of young people. But what the devil will do is he'll deceive you in thinking you've got all kinds of time to serve our God. But again, if you pay attention to James, it's but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But tomorrow may not be here. There's two examples I'd like to give you that God has used directly in my life to again just drive home that our life is not in our hands. The man that did snow plowing for us as a subcontractor this past winter, not this one, but the prior winter, and his four-wheel drive didn't work in the vehicle, so you had to climb underneath to get engaged or disengaged. He went under it one day after a storm and was disengaging his four-wheel drive vehicle. Was underneath there, disengaged, and went too far, and the truck went in neutral. Rolled over top of him. Dead. Gone on into a crisis eternity. He did not know that the last thing he was going to do was crawl underneath that vehicle. There's another gentleman by the name of Chuck Bailey. Hired him 8 years ago. I've worked with him for the 8 years, and it'll be about a year in June, beginning of June. He was on his motorcycle heading down the interstate, 75 plus miles an hour, no helmet. Truck, van cut him off. He went careening across the highway. Chuck Bailey is still alive. That's a miracle of God. Chuck Bailey is saved. He's a saved man. He was in a coma for 3 months. Didn't know who I was for easily 6 months. He's in a wheelchair. He's bound in a wheelchair still. He has most of his mind back, but not all of it. Chuck Bailey will never, never be the same again. He wouldn't have the same opportunity to serve his God like he could have a year ago. So when you say, I'll wait some time, you may not have time. And that's what I want to drive home tonight, is that we understand each day is what we have. We only have that. We don't even have that. This breath might be my last one. And we need to understand that young and old alike, we can't order our day. We can't measure our days and say, I'm going to have this many. I'm sure you have examples in your own church, in your own community, of those that life have been cut short. May we use what we have now for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could take you, there'll be two passages of Scripture that we'll go through here for a short period of time. And in Deuteronomy chapter 24, we'll keep our hand in that, as well as Luke chapter 9. We can hold on to both of those We have 3 points to make with 3 verses out of Deuteronomy 24 that measure up very well against Luke chapter 9, as the Lord spoke to me through these verses. In Luke chapter 9 and Deuteronomy 24. We'll start reading in Deuteronomy 24 and verse number 19. And it says, "When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the works of thy hands." The Lord began to speak to my heart out of this scripture for the fatherless. But I'm praying that God will use it to speak to your heart for perhaps the stranger, and even the fatherless, and even the widow. I'd like to draw your attention to the phrase, "Thou shalt not go again to fetch it." Don't go back and fetch your life. Lose it. Lose your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. When God desires you to do something, don't go back and fetch it. And we want to see the example in Luke chapter 9, holding Deuteronomy 24. We'll see in Luke chapter 9, and reading verses 57 and 58. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." We don't see his response here, but perhaps this man went back and said, "Okay, I'm going to need some stuff then. Let me go back and begin to gather what I need. Maybe a tent, a parka, something warm." But our God says, don't go back and fetch it. Leave it. Lose it. This man may have gone back never to return, being weighed down with things he was collecting up. We need to watch in our lives if we're going about gathering things, fetching things that we think we need. But our Lord says, I'll provide what you need. Just come with me. And our God will provide things exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think when we leave it behind. It says in Matthew chapter 10, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." May we understand the important truth of that. Not going about trying to find our life, but to lose it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go back. Start fetching for things that were left behind. Leave them behind. That the Lord Jesus Christ may use you. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 24, we read, in verse number 20, "When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow." I'd like to draw your attention to, "Thou shalt not go over the boughs again." Think of our lives, your life, as the olive tree that's right there. And you're picking stuff off of it as your life goes by. But there's some stuff up in the top that we need to lay aside. We're going to see an example back in Luke chapter 9. In verses 59 and 60 it says, "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Again, we don't hear the response or the reaction of Jesus' answer to this man. But he was waiting to do something. He was waiting to bury his father. Doesn't say that his father's even dead. And may I say that the father may have buried the son before the son could bury the father. That's how life is. This man was waiting for something. Maybe he was waiting for the inheritance up in the boughs of those trees. Let me wait till my father passes away, get what I get, and then I'll serve you, Lord. He was looking up in that top, waiting for something. Are you looking up in the tree of your life, waiting for something to come to pass that may never come to pass? And again, the devil will make you keep looking up there, and your life will go by. Young people, what do you understand? Don't keep looking up in the boughs when you can look about you into the harvest. I'll insert part of my testimony in here. The winter before, my God called me to Moldova. I've worked for the same company for 14 years, Suncrest Gardens. Started as an assistant foreman, worked up to managing the construction end, the snow removal end of a multi-million-dollar landscape organization. I sat down with the owner the prior winter, and we were talking about my progression through the company and where I would go. And my stopping point was to begin to be able to take over the operations of the company. Top of the line. That was in the boughs of my tree. That was up there. That was where I had my sights. My God called me to leave it, to not go back and fetch it. And I stand before you here gladly praising my God that He gave me the strength to leave that behind. Because that's nothing. That's the world. The world will fill you up with a bunch of trash. But the Lord wants to give us treasure upon treasure. August 5th, 2007, my life turned around. Completely. I no longer had the desire that was up in the top of that bough of that tree. And our God will give us that strength to lay anything down. If there's something that's hard that you're holding on to, that you're looking forward to, our God will give you the strength to lay it down. Young people, don't get wrapped up in this world. Don't put the roots of your olive tree so hard down that God can't transplant you. Again, in our lives, it's so important to allow the Holy Spirit to move. When He says, go, don't say, suffer me first. Me first. When you put me first in, the Lord Jesus Christ will just keep on going. Turning back to Deuteronomy 24 for the last verse and point. When thou gatherest, verse number 21, when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And again, drawing your attention to, thou shalt not glean it afterward. Don't glean the last drop out of your life for yourself. Lay it down for the Lord Jesus Christ. God is asking us to leave some stuff by the wayside. God used Deuteronomy 24 as an example, as a picture, to leave stuff behind for somebody else. And can we look at it in our own lives? Are you leaving anything behind for somebody else? Or is it all about you? Is it all about you? When we look again in Luke chapter 9, in verse 61 and 62, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, we don't see his response to the Lord Jesus Christ's response. He said, let me first go home and say goodbye to my family. I've got this family reunion that I need to be a part of. Let me do a last one. It's in the middle of the summer, and I'll catch up with you later. Just let me know where you're going to be. Or let me finish this project with my dad, so that I have a good memory, so that when I'm apart, we can remember that. And I stand before you and tell you, young people, old people alike, one day will turn into a week. Let me just stay one more day. We'll turn into a week. We'll turn into a month. We'll turn into a year. We'll turn into a decade of a life wasted, gone, with nothing done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. You're distracted by the world, gaining things for yourself, with nothing to show for when we go before Him. I'd like you to draw your attention to John chapter 10 and show you the example, the prime example of someone that laid down their life. And in John chapter 10, that is no one other but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He says in John chapter 10, 15 through 18, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." He laid it down freely, willingly. God will not bend your arm for you to lay your life down. He's looking for those that desire to be used, desire to lay their lives down for someone else. Right after the Lord called me to Moldova, Brother Paul Hamilton gave me the book named Vanya. Very special book to my heart. God used it in many ways. Vanya was a Moldovan man in the Russian Red Army. Vanya also is translated, the name is John, so we had the same name, so it was special to me for that. He was a Moldovan man. We had the same name. But also, Vanya laid his life down, literally laid his life down in my lifetime. Vanya was martyred July 16th, 1972. In the army of the Russian government, he was told not to pray, not to witness to fellow soldiers, not to teach out of the Word of God, time again, time again. And he would not obey man. Vanya took his last beating. He could take it no longer. Sitting outside in the freezing cold, with little to nothing on, coming in, being beaten, being stabbed. Vanya took his last breath, July 16th, 1972. In that moment, he was in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid his life down. And Vanya left this behind to let people know that the government tried to gloss over it, but the wounds bore all the truth. He left this. "In heavy trials, day upon day, be not discouraged as you stand alone. The call to suffering in this life obey. Your faraway goal is known. Advance, fall not back in the terrible storm. Do not lose heart as you stand alone. May your heart toward brothers stay ever warm. Advance, fall not back in the storm. While enemies blaspheme, accuse you, and mock, advance, lose not heart in the darkening storm. Do not lose heart as in deep faith you walk. Sow seeds of righteousness even as they scorn. Advance alone to the goal. Harvest comes for men's souls." Vanya knew what his life was about. Vanya had a goal. He was looking forward into the harvest of men's souls. What are you looking at with the rest of your life? What will you do with the rest of your life? What are you looking at to do? What's your goal? This world is always pumping in, set goals, set goals, set goals. That's what drove me to the top of Suncrest. Set goals, set goals. But we need to set goals with the harvest in front of us, that our life may be used for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fetch your life. Lose it. Don't lag behind in your life. Leave it. Don't glean the last drop out of your life. Lay it down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we turn to Psalms chapter 90 as the last verse will be read? And I'd like you to sow this into your hearts, that each morning that this verse would come to mind. Psalms chapter 90, verse number 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to ask our God to give us the vision to be able to understand that our days are but few. Teach me to number my days. God, give me the wisdom to use today correctly for You. Help me to think that I can know I'm going forward for You and not myself. What will you do with the rest of your life? The response to my God is found in one last song. And it's called Take My Life and Let It Be. I'd like to sing it for you. Consider, what will you do with the rest of your life? What is your response to your God asking you to give of your life for others? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my silver and my gold, now
bow our heads for just a couple minutes here before we take up an offering. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come tonight if Lord dealt with you about something. I'm not going to have a big, long, drawn-out thing here. We want to take up an offering for the Weldons. To give you an opportunity to come if you need to come. Important to remember sometimes that
Lord didn't just take folks that washed out in life to use them. He certainly can use folks that washed out in life. Sometimes He washes them out in life. But the Lord also takes folks that were had very promising futures. And were happy and willing to give those futures up for something that was more rewarding and better. Look this way. We're going to take up an offering here real quick for the Weldons, and happy to do so. Not going to get much of a chance to get to know them this time through. They're leaving, they rolled in here tonight just before the meeting and are headed out, Brother Carlson's, and making a swing up to the North Country starting tomorrow. So maybe sometime they'll be able to swing back in. We'll get a chance to know them a little bit better. But we want to give them an offering. Jason, you guys want to come and stick up an offering for these guys. Like I said, it's been a little bit of a coalescence of events here where Brother Beyer pulled in the other night just to park, and that Brother Brandon's last night, and Brother Del Grande was here Sunday night too, and the Weldon's this week. But we're happy to do it. Looking forward to Brother Spurgeon here in June. And so we're hoping you folks can be generous with these folks here tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will take an offering. Father, now we appreciate these folks. I appreciate the man and his wife, Lord, the young family on the road, all the challenges that presents. I know that there are rewards as well, but certainly challenges and hardships. We pray that you'd bless their being on the road. I know that they pray that you'd haste the goals that they've set and be able to get on over into that country and get to work. I'm sure Brother Hamilton awaits their arrival with anxiousness as well. Pray you protect them on the road, grant them safety. It's kind of a crazy day we live in, and a lot of crazies on the road. Father, I pray that you'd give them good experiences, Lord. Let them see your hand in all that you do. And we just pray that you'd bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. take a few minutes to visit with the Weldons here after service. Remember, Teresa would like to meet with the ladies here just real quick, just right up here, just real quick right after service. And we'll see you here Saturday morning, Lord willing, at 9:30. Let's turn to number 413. We'll stand and sing one more here before we go. Y'all been singing good tonight. Let's sing one more. We're 413. Be dismissed. Father, appreciate these folks coming out tonight. And we ask your continued oversight. Everything we're trying to do, a lot going on. Father, it's too much to enumerate right now, all the things that we have, all the irons we have in the fire. But we ask that you bless each one. And Father, we need laborers for the work. And we pray that you'd give folks the fruit and the zeal to be able to follow through and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good night, folks.